This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
Welcome to Confidence on the Go. You are listening to Trish Blackwell. We are in episode number 119, and I am here with quite possibly my favorite person in the world, the love of my life, Brandon Sinan, my handsome husband, who, you know, I've been doing the show for about 2 years. This is the second time only he's ever agreed to come on the show, because today we're talking about motivation for type B's. And something Brandon and I love to talk about is the difference between our personalities, which are type A and type B personalities. So in this episode, we're going to be chatting about what the actual difference is between type A's and type B's. We're going to talk about how to create consistent motivation and follow through for type B's. And then we're going to give you a lot of really tangible strategies. I think he shared 6 strategies with us for concrete versus passion goals, 3 strategies for each on how a type B personality can really elevate the consistency of your motivation. And before we go into that, I want to give a big virtual shout out and a high five and thank you to the Gensta 123. I'd like to give an on-air thank you to everyone who writes a review in iTunes, because it's a way to celebrate the Be More community. And that is this community. That's a community of being more of who we're meant to be each and every day by investing in ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. And the Gensta said, "I'm always worried that one day I'll hit refresh and your podcast will have ended. You've made such a difference to me. And like the title says of my review, you saved me on many occasions. Thank you." Now, thank you to the Gensta 123. And I want you to know I have no plans on ending podcasting anytime in the future. So don't have to worry. And I'm just so pumped that I get to be a part of your life and your journey. Now, let me first tell you why I decided to do a podcast on type B's and type A's. And actually, this is a 2-part show. So next week, episode number 120, we're going to be talking the flip version of this, of flexibility, how type A's can incorporate more flexibility in their life. So other than just finding the subject fascinating, I got a letter from a fan that I'm going to read to you, and it's a great way to launch us into our interview here. So this fan wrote, "Dear Trish, I have been listening to you for years and have always appreciated the inspiration and encouragement. While I have gained invaluable lessons from your wisdom, I still feel an overwhelming burden or disappointment in myself when it comes to truly making lasting change. For months now, I've been asking myself why it is so hard when I've been given all of the great mental tools by teachers like yourself. And I'm wondering if I'm onto something. You have mentioned to you, and it is clear that you're a type A personality. Your bio and the experiences you have shared over the years in books and podcasts reveal your propensity for self-discipline and high standards. For you, this turned into compulsion, which you battled and won, and your 6 success story emerged. You were a personal trainer, which means you were able to hold others accountable as well as yourself, and additionally, were capable of managing others in your previous employment. I admire all that you were able to accomplish as a result of your determination, but I honestly have been thinking lately that we are just an entirely different species. As a type B, there are very few things I do habitually, even things I claim to love immensely. I can't think of many beyond eating and brushing my teeth that I do habitually. I battle in my mind about getting started and dance around productivity by allowing my brain to run wild in multiple directions. In college, I cost myself probably an entire letter grade in my GPA because of things like misconstruing due dates, drowning myself in disorganized research, losing my jump drive, or ineffectually submitting a massive term paper. I make appointments for myself, but rarely take them seriously. I create rules and break them instantly. Each week, I create these lofty aspirations, but my enthusiasm soon deflates. I rarely ever feel like I am put together. Instead, I am just going through the motions and not truly living life. As a result, I want to wrap myself up in television for hours until guilt finally forces me to do something with my day. There is always a cycle. I go into phases where I'm inspired and determined to remain organized and consistent, but always falls off eventually. I am the complete opposite of compulsion. Sometimes when I listen to you, I think to myself, I wish there was something inside of me that would force me to do A, B, and C, even if it were to the extreme. How can I ever expect to develop consistency when I work odd hours and no 2 days are ever alike? We are wired so differently that I don't know how or whether it's feasible for me to emulate a type A personality and some of the type A solutions you offer. I feel powerless to overcome change long-term and reinvent myself the way I've always dreamed. Should I just accept myself that I am not capable of being a type A? Should I accept that inconsistency is as much of a part of my genetic makeup and as protection and guarding my home is part of my German Shepherd's makeup? Even with all your great advice, I find it difficult, if not confusing, to walk the tightrope between wanting and seeking improvement with myself and accepting myself for my flaws and shortcomings. What should I change? What should I accept? And what should I embrace? Sincerely, a disheartened type B. Well, first off, to my dear disheartened type B, I want to thank you for your letter because it inspired me to do this, this series of shows, this show and next week's, because I think you're onto something. There is something really valuable in asking ourselves, what type of personality do I have? And then what types of qualities in the other quote unquote type of personality that I don't have, can I really aspire and emulate without sacrificing who I am? Because there certainly are pros to being a quote unquote type A, and there are pros to being a type B, and there are also cons to both. So first I want to, and that's why when I was really preparing to tackle this question and answer your questions on consistency and how to accept and embrace ourselves while still desiring change and looking to improve ourselves and really follow through on this life that we've dreamed of following, being the best version of ourselves physically, being the best version of ourselves mentally, you know, reading a book instead of watching TV, and also pursuing our best relationship with God. So wherever you are in the spectrum of being a type A and type B, I really realized that the best way for me to answer this question was to bring a type A and type B on the air at the same time. And so that's what I've done today. That's why I invited Brandon on the show, because I think he offers some really great and valuable insight as to what's great about being a type B, but then also firsthand experience and strategies that he's implemented to help him be successful in managing his he has a pretty high demanding, high stressful job working in the government. And there's a lot of deadlines and a lot of expectations. And in the while, he also has his passion projects that he pursues in his free time. And so how he balances that all as a type B is very different than the way that I would approach it. And so the strategies that he provides are something that I don't think myself would have been able to provide for you. But before I launch into the interview, I do want to just, I don't know, a little history on type A and type B. Did you know that the terms type A and type B actually were created decades ago by cardiologists who were studying the effects of chronically driven, time-pressured personality on heart attack risk? And researchers found no correlation or link behind these types of time-driven personality traits with heart attacks, but the labels remained in use as shorthand for these broad differences in temperament that are largely inborn in our personality. So interesting tidbit I did not actually know myself. And you know, for me, I guess one of the best ways to describe, I think, one of the greatest things about being a type B is the flexibility and the ability to be adaptable that you have. Now, and on the flip side, type A's are very focused and driven, and there's something to be said for both sides of that coin. And you know what? Like I said, I'm not the expert on type B's. I'm going to bring in my personal expert in my life, my type B resource, and that's my husband. And I will say, to my dear disheartened type B, in your letter saying that sometimes, you know, you hear a type A like myself or another podcaster or maybe author you read, you get inspired and you want to follow our strategies. And you know what? They are possible to be followed by, I believe, anyone. Now, that being said, I want you to also see yourself on the flip side for all the great qualities that come with the type B personality. The reason I am so attracted to and so well complimented by my husband is because he brings to the table qualities that aren't type A, that balance me out and inspire me to be a better version of myself, to know how to relax, to slow down my pace of living, to really enjoy the present, to not put so much pressure on myself, to know how to savor and enjoy companionship and community in a way that's not achievement oriented. So before we go into any of this, I want you to know that each of these two personality types have great things that are worthy of being celebrated. And that's why I knew I couldn't just do one episode on this. I had to do two episodes because this first episode is going to be is directed towards people that are type B personalities who want to find ways to be more consistent and have that motivation and that follow through. And Brandon's going to provide you some strategies. Now, next week, we're going to be targeting the type A's, and not targeting in a negative way, but we're going to be providing strategies, quality of life strategies on how type A's can incorporate more flexibility and adaptability into their life and why that would be a good thing for them to do. So without further ado, let me introduce to you and bring on the air my handsome husband, Brandon. Okay, so as promised, I am so excited to bring and introduce, well, for the second time, I was going to say the first time, but it's been a while, my handsome and wonderful, and I just am so blessed to have him in my life, amazing husband, Brandon.
Thank you. That's a wonderful introduction.
And we're actually here, Ellie's hanging out with us. We are, a little family podcasting session, which is kind of cool. And as you know, as I already mentioned, and I prepped you guys last week on this subject, we're talking about, you know, just how different Brandon and I are. And that's, I think, why we work so well. And a type B versus type A personalities. And, my first question for you, Brandon, is really this. You know, before we really start talking about ways, you know, for type Bs to improve, first let's sing the praises of type Bs. Because I certainly am not in a position to say that type A's are better than type Bs. Not at all. In fact, next week's episode is going to be all about the ways that any of us type A's out there, including myself, can improve and become better. So we each have something to give and to learn from each type of, let's say, personality that we have. So first, Brandon, why do you consider yourself a type B? And then also, how has being that type of personality benefited you in life?
Sure. So I think that the main differences between type A and type Bs, you got to look at their approach to life, how they problem solve, differences in personality, and goal achievement. How do they approach any sort of task? Is it a problem that needs to be dissected? Is it something that needs to be bowled through? So there's a big difference in the personalities, but it delves into other areas of the type A, type B type people. So I started coming up with, like, what is a pure A versus a pure B? Mm. And some of the words that I came up with were pure A's are controlled, where pure B's are relaxed. Pure A's are rigid, where pure B's are flexible. Mm. Pure A's are disciplined. Pure B's have adaptability. And I tried to use positive words for both. Yeah. But it's so tempting because I admire so many qualities in type A's that I don't have, that the type B quality for me is a negative word.
Well, right.
So
right.
Like slacker, lazy, stuff like that, always late, procrastinator. Those are qualities that, in the way that I think about myself, I take those words and I use them to describe some of my approaches to goal setting, goal achievement, problem solving. Yeah. And for me, the type B at the root is, how do you deal with time?
Hmm.
So for a type A, there's this rigid structure. There's this, we're going to do this, this, and this when we wake up in the morning.
Oh my gosh, he hates me in the morning.
Saturday mornings.
Yeah, especially on Saturday mornings.
Sleep in and just enjoy the day.
Because I have a plan for the day.
Oh, we've been working for the weekend, and now it's the weekend, and why are we continuing to work?
I don't work for the weekend. Every day is my weekend.
So my approach to time is very different. Ask anyone in my family, I'm late to almost everything. But as a type B, that makes a lot of sense to me. I don't want to wait on other people in order to get started doing something. If I'm there
that's early, a little selfish.
If I'm there a little early and I've got to wait for everybody else, well, I've wasted time. Now, if I've left at the optimal amount of time and raced down the road to get someplace and I end up being 5 minutes late, well, everybody else has had to wait on me, but we get to get started as soon as I get there.
I think that's selfish.
It's probably a little conceited, too.
I think it's both of those things. We're trying to sing the praises of being a type B, not talk about how you get away with things as a type B.
Well, all right, so, but being a type B and how I deal with time, I look at time as a different sort of thing. It's not a limiting factor, the people that say, if you're 5 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, then you're late. That doesn't apply.
It's just not in your realm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So my priorities are a little different because my goals are different. I believe that other people should have flexibility when it comes to setting those schedules as well. To say that a certain task is going to take 15 minutes and then you're going to move on doesn't allow for random variables that inevitably crop up in life.
Hmm.
So that's basically what I'm thinking of as the differences between type A's and type
sure.
B's. I'm hoping that your listeners all have their own definitions.
Well, absolutely.
Too.
What's so funny for me, and you know, you and I have talked about this, and all my friends know this, I always thought I was going to end up with a type A. I mean, I was looking, to be honest, I was looking to date someone like me, and as furthest thing from, like, from anything that I actually needed. Because I have dated those types of people, and it's becomes this competitive, terrible, one-upping relationship that's toxic. And when I met you, and you know this, are the biggest thing that I was like, I loved everything about you, except I said, you just live your life with time so differently. And at first, it was really unattractive to me. I hated it. It drove me crazy. But then as I started seeing the beautiful quality to the way you, you know, you're talking about time management. What you're really highlighting is that you have mastered the ability to sit on the couch or sit on the front porch and read a book without guilt and not be thinking ahead of yourself. So you actually have this ability to live in the present, which is what I realized my whole life I've always been seeking. But, you know, where I was chastising type B qualities, they were actually what I needed to balance me and to teach me how to have some flexibility.
I'm sounding like a little bit of a couch potato right
now. I'm not trying to, he's not a couch potato.
But
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying, though. I have a lot of patience.
Yes.
And he
needs it with me.
And I don't get stressed out when plans don't go the way that they're supposed to go.
Yeah.
I have this greater satisfaction with the process of getting to a goal as opposed to just bullheaded going towards that goal and nothing else matters, because I think when that happens and you get derailed, it can be extremely stressful.
Yeah.
But for me and people like me, the stress factor that comes with being having a setback or being moved to a goal that's slightly to the left or right of what you had originally thought, that's not as stressful. In fact, that can be very rewarding. I have a love of quality, whereas I think a lot of A's, and yourself included,
absolutely,
have a love of quantity. You want to see how much you can get done, whereas I want to get one thing done
really,
really
well.
Well,
you know what, though? The thing is I do. I have a love for quantity, but I secretly really want the quality. You know? I guess it's kind of like a type A looking at a type B and going, gosh, I wish I could have this. The same way you were saying, you sometimes used to look at type A's and go, how come I can't be just like that?
Well, let me take a small dig at you, too. Because when,
but it's not about taking digs at me.
When you do go for that quality, you do it with this attitude of needing perfection.
There's a quantitative approach to my quality.
And exactly.
Yeah.
And so when I go for that quality, I'm okay with the 97%. I'm okay with something less than 100% of whatever that
your
that
expectation
goal was.
Yeah.
My expectation may not have been completely met, but it's met enough where that quality is satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So my next question actually for you is, you know, we're talking about flexibility and the difference of flexibility and discipline. And that discipline obviously becomes more naturally to me, but sometimes to my detriment because I can't find that balance of flexibility in whatever it is that I'm approaching. But for you, flexibility in this ability to kind of roll with the punches comes really naturally. So, you know, since we're trying to do a show to help type Bs with follow through and motivation. What do you think really causes you to struggle with discipline towards a goal? Is it this linear timeline that we've been talking about, or something else?
Well, let's just say that, one, I have trouble focusing on one task and getting it to completion. I tend to like to do something that has multiple outcomes or multiple reasons for doing it. I like doing things experientially. I like sharing those experiences with other people. And if it's a problem that needs to be solved, a lot of times I'll have trouble focusing on it within the time frame that's given to me. It's perhaps a little bit of rebellious nature, but that outside imposed timeline, I really struggle with that because I won't focus completely. I just get scattered almost immediately when I sit down to do it. If you want your house cleaned, give me a task that I don't want to do, and I'll sit there and do everything except for the task. I'll clean. Oh, hey, I should probably do some sit-ups.
Yeah.
So I'll be productive, but I won't be productive in the way that I need to be.
Is it rebellion? Why?
Oh, I haven't really considered if it's rebellion. I don't know. Somewhere at the core of me, though, it's like focus just disappears. It's like herding cats. I have all this motivation to do so much stuff, but I can't focus it into a fine point to direct at that one issue that I really need to be focusing on.
Yeah, interesting. So, and I'm opposite.
Yeah, you are a finely tuned instrument.
So funny.
You are focused where I'm scattered.
Yeah. So would you say, and this is a question I had for you, is would you consider type A's and type B's to truly be polar opposites, or not necessarily? Where is there an overlap, and if so, where is it?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a spectrum. I think that while I am predominantly a type B in my approach to life and problem solving and goal orientation, I think that I also have some characteristics of a type A, and it really depends on the circumstance that we're talking about. So if it's something that I really want to accomplish or become really good at, I do have the focus and the passion, the drive to do that. Or if it's a task that I feel is really important,
you'll do it. Yeah.
I will do it, especially if it's for somebody other than me.
Yeah.
So I can marshal my motivation in those circumstances and do it extremely well.
You know, that's funny. The first thing that came to my mind is your motivation to recycle. Of all the things that I think that you would just say, whatever, he's a Nazi about it. If he sees me throw away a plastic bag, he digs it out of the trash can. But you're right. It speaks to what you just said, is you are motivated when it's a greater purpose and when it's serving other people, which recycling is an example of that.
To be completely honest, every time I'm digging in the trash, I'm not thinking about my hands in the trash. I'm thinking about cleaning things up for Ellie.
Yeah.
So that there's one less piece of trash in the landfill that I'll have done my part. I feel a certain amount of reward for it, but not for myself.
Yeah.
But for Ellie, for the next generation. And I don't know whether that's good advertising on the recycling part. But it is something that I've internalized. And so I am motivated to make sure that we are responsible recyclers. And even at work, I work with our recycling program for the government bureau that I'm with.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's just so, you're right. I never thought of you about that being a sort of the type A spectrum coming out in you. But it actually is.
Yeah, I would not have picked that as an example. Totally in my blind spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the spectrum of it, though. Even as a type A, though, you also have some type B qualities.
Yeah.
You're able to just roll with the punches. Criticism comes and gets you. The very few times that you're distracted by that. And that's type A again.
Yeah.
So
I'm maybe more on the extreme of type A.
You are pretty type A.
But I am learning from you and your type. I mean, I'm trying to embrace learning how to slow down. I mean, it's been a mission in my life for the last couple of years, is really, like you said, experiencing and savoring the journey and knowing that itself is enough. And you know,
well, it is. I mean, about you teach me that. Down sometimes.
The
speed which you attack a problem when you're going headlong at it. Like, I'm more thoughtful about it. You put a hurdle in the road. I may do a little bit of mad scientist action with it and try and poke and prod it and see why it's there and go around it.
And I'm just going to go at it.
You're going to go through it yeah. every time. And so I think that's where I compliment you.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you compliment me with, well, you've been staring at this hurdle for long enough.
Let's
Don't
do
you
it.
Think you should do something? And sure enough, it's like, well, I've been given permission to yeah. just go through it. Whereas before, I'm thinking there's a smarter way to do this.
Yeah.
If I was just a tick smarter, I'd be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I'll sit and think about it for a lot longer than, say, a type A would. Then you definitely would.
Well, so to answer this question about, like, is true discipline for a type B, does it really need to come from a place where, to be really disciplined, it comes from a place where you are really, really motivated? Like, it has to be something that you care deeply about.
So I did a little thinking about this.
Yeah.
And you told me that I was going to be on talking about this. And so
yeah.
I started just putting my thoughts down on paper.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought was, when I'm the most stressed out about trying to accomplish a goal, regardless of how important it is to me, I feel a sense of displacement. I feel like I am in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. And I know that there is a better place for me to be. So in those circumstances, there are usually two different types of problems or goals that I'm working towards. It's what I'm going to call a concrete goal,
okay,
which is a task that is probably outside of your person. It's not a passion goal. It's something that probably should be done, but it's not one of those things that you just feel so strongly that you should be doing, that the motivation comes naturally.
Yeah.
And the other one is a passion goal, and those are difficult for a different reason. But starting with the concrete goals, I think that the hardest thing to do with a concrete goal is to just start it.
Yeah.
And that's where I usually struggle. I'm always looking for, again, with the hurdle, I'm looking for that one piece that's going to get me that start. If it's a ball of yarn, I'm looking for that first string.
Mm.
Where do I untie this knot? That sort of analogy.
Yeah.
So for a concrete goal, here's what I do. To greater or lesser effect, I still struggle with this.
Yeah.
But I personalize the goal. I read in a book, The Tools.
Yeah, great book.
But their tool there was to imagine yourself on your deathbed.
Oh, that's right. You didn't like this tool.
Hated that. I thought it was the worst.
Sorry, I cut you off. Explain what the tool was.
Oh, no, it's that picturing yourself on your deathbed, talking to somebody else about what you accomplished in your life. And if they were to say, well, did this particular thing get the better of you? You want to be able to, no, hell no, I conquered. I kicked its butt. Doesn't work for me on a concrete goal. I don't care about a concrete goal often enough,
or enough, really,
in order to use that as a motivator. Because I'm not going to be wanting to talk about that on my deathbed.
Yeah.
My deathbed speech will probably be something else entirely. It's going to be more passion-oriented.
Yeah.
So if you personalize the goal, it's the opposite of the deathbed goal. I'm going to personalize it. Hmm. I'm going to make this goal important to me for another reason. It's like the recycling. It's important to me for Ellie.
Yeah.
So if I can use somebody else as a motivator for me to work towards, to work for.
So these marathons that we do.
I do them for you.
Honestly. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you enjoy running.
I do.
And we've packaged, for those of you who don't know, we have a lifelong kind of goal as a family, well, couple, to run a marathon on every continent. And so, obviously, there's travel that's shiny in those packages as well, but...
That's where my passion is. Yeah. I want to travel.
Yeah.
And I know that for you, the travel, for the sake of travel, probably isn't enough.
Yeah.
So you have to have a goal that we're both going to work towards.
Interesting. So it's a personalized fitness goal.
A personalized fitness goal. I can marshal my resources for that. I can get out and run all those miles because I'm doing it for you.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it so that we get to go travel. So, I mean, it's selfish, but it's selfless all at the same time.
But it keeps you motivated. You do the run. You do every run.
Well, and it also has that multiple rewards.
You secretly like it.
I
you look great when you're running.
Oh, thank you. But competitively,
sure.
I like to run faster. I like to be competitive with the other people that I'm running against. I hate that you beat me. I hate that you're faster than me. And sometimes that's the demotivator that takes the wind out of my sails.
Yeah.
I want to go out and run, but what's the point? I'm never going to be as fast as you are. So back to the goal.
But I'm never going to be as strong as you are.
Just
See?
Trying to build me up.
See?
I love it. I'm blush a little bit. Anyways.
Come back to your philosophy here.
That's right. But personalizing the goal, but not for yourself, but for somebody else. Yeah. Putting that person on the other side of it can really help you with your motivation.
That's great advice.
Secondly, I call this primacy recency reward.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you did prepare for this.
I told you I did. But those are all memory techniques. You're supposed to, in a list of things, you remember the first thing that you read, you remember the last thing that you read. I'm adding reward to it. And in terms of this, I'm talking about actions towards that goal, that you're going to have the greatest strength towards completing a task at the beginning and at the end. And at the end can be broken up into chunks with rewards afterwards.
Okay.
So that if I want a bowl of ice cream or to watch a TV show, I'm going to do 15 minutes of work and then take off 15 to 30 minutes in order to reward myself. The downside is that you then have to motivate yourself to start all over
again.
Instead of then watching another TV show
or right.
getting another bowl of ice cream.
Right.
So, but if you break it up into those bite-sized chunks, I think that you're going to be able to make more progress. It will get you started. And sometimes when I do that, I'll find myself working on it and my reward period will come and I'll say, no, I want to keep working on this because now I've got the groove of it. I found that first string to pull.
So it's just getting started.
It is just getting started.
Huh.
And then the, let's see, a tricky deadline.
Okay.
The third technique, the tricky deadline.
Yeah. We were talking about this with work for you. Yeah.
Fool yourself into thinking that the deadline is a month earlier, a week earlier, an hour earlier. Whatever it is that gets your heart beating and that adrenaline going because you've got that deadline that you're now pressed up against.
So let's talk about this. We were on a car ride the other day, and I forget where we were going on a vacation, weekend trip somewhere. So we had a lot of time to talk in the car. So we're talking to each other about what we were like in school and what we were like in college. And Brandon and I were opposite. It's a good thing. We're different in so many ways, but it's a good thing that we didn't know each other in college. For various reasons, but
would still have fallen in love.
I probably would have, but you approach school of waiting to the last minute to study, waiting to the last minute. You liked the rush, whereas I got this satisfaction from completing everything. Like I don't know, you know, weeks, days, hours, way before the deadline. I wanted to be the first person in the class to finish any test that was given out. Everything was a race to me. Whereas I think, you know, it was so interesting when we talked about that. I couldn't believe that you said, no, I performed better. I had better grades. I was more on top of everything when I waited to the last minute because you got that almost this, you know, exhilaration, the rush, you know.
I'm about to say some things that I know frustrated you when we were first dating.
Yeah.
In college, I had the same attitude that you did once we got the assignment.
Yeah.
I really wanted to just go back and finish it and be done with it because I knew that if I didn't do it, it would be the last minute and I would stress out and I'd be drinking coffee at 4 in the morning, finishing up a paper that I hadn't even thought about in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But I never did. I never did that.
So I did it. You just thought about it.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
Is the quality of being an A-type personality that I was never able to internalize.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks later, I would be, you know, talking with friends or playing that last game of pool or having a conversation, drinking a beer, anything except for
that thing.
What I needed to do. And sure enough, I'd be like, oh, crap, it's 2 in the morning. I have paper due at 9 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know what I'm going to
write on. Never in my life. I would die doing that.
And
oh.
So then I would sit down and I would buckle down and that heart rate would have just gone through the roof. And I'd crank out what was, to me at that particular moment, a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Now, I was turning in a rough draft at 9 a.m. For anybody else, all the type A's out there that are cringing, it was a rough draft. But I'm going to toot my own horn.
You're
a decent
good under
writer.
Pressure.
So, well,
yeah.
And I've been told that I'm a good writer, so that creatively I was able to take an argument, run with it, and put the words together in a good enough way that I was able to get a B.
Yeah.
Where with a 6 week lead time and some revisions, an A would have been simple.
Yeah.
But to me, the reward was the B.
Yeah.
Look how little I had to work and focus on this. And
oh,
still
I'm cringing hearing this.
With a B. A B was good enough.
Ellie, don't listen. It's well, then again, I mean, it's the adrenaline that really, you know, inspires you. And I'm an adrenaline junkie, but I'm scared to skydive. And you jumped out of the first plane you ever got into. So, yeah, I mean, that speaks to your type B. You know, I want to do that. I'm just a little chicken.
Well, sometimes you just got to go and do something. Yeah. I think that's the other thing that I've learned as being a type B is that you are looked at as a slacker. You are looked at as somebody that's never going to accomplish what you say you're going
to
do.
Or follow through.
And when I say that by other type A's, type A's are going to look at you and say that you are ineffective. Hmm. And the truth of the matter is that type B's are very effective. Mm. We just do it in a much different way than type A's.
Yeah.
So almost that's unrecognizable.
Yeah.
In terms of conquering fear and all that, type B's have so much experience with examining a problem and looking at it from all sides and then just doing what made a lot of sense or going bullheaded once a solution wasn't immediately clear. After all that analysis, you still have to accomplish that task. Mm. And so when I climbed into that plane, I was 22 years old, had never been in a plane before, and saw no reason why I shouldn't jump out of this one.
Yeah.
Just because it was what I had come there to do. It had taken me a long time to get to that, but once I was there, there was no turning back.
Yeah.
So
it goes back to saying you said you had done a lot of thinking to get to that point. So as a type B, to really be able to follow through, because that's really what the crux of the question today is: how can a type B follow through? Because the desire is there. Is it really just getting the desire deeper so that the care is there, like that the follow through is there?
Yeah. Well, so that's part of it, and you have to fake it sometimes because, at least in my case, I don't care about a lot of the stuff that I really should be doing. In my head, that deathbed speech does not include finish a policy or read this report or a ton of other things. So accountability is big. Mm. And again, putting this outside of yourself, rather than doing something for somebody else, you can engender some accountability by getting a mentor, somebody you respect to hold you accountable. Or in a negative way, you can declare what you're going to do to somebody who you know
you
would
like
love to see you fail.
That's an interesting way to motivate. I've not considered that.
Sometimes I've tried to imagine somebody who I know would want to see me fail and have the thought process of, I don't want to go in front of them with this failure on my head.
Yeah.
And that will give me a bit more motivation. I can't say that it always pushes me over the hump because really it's all in my head. I'm only going to fool myself so much.
Yeah.
But there's a third way to do this that sort of covers both the positive accountability and the negative, and that's a public declaration. Facebook is great for laying out your goals and saying, this is what I'm going to do, and really being accountable to a written record that's never going to disappear for accomplishing that goal. And then you've declared it to all of your friends and all of your frenemies or really just anybody out there who's in tune with you on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are other platforms for that.
Absolutely. But there's a public declaration.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. Yell it on your front porch.
Well, even I would say in the things that you've told me that you want to do, I bring them back up to you. So a decoration to someone who you care about as well is motivating.
Absolutely. And you were the last person I ever wanted to disappoint. So that's a huge motivator for me.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I see you every day. So I'm able to make excuses or to declare whether I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Right, right.
So, and you love me, so you put up with it. So you are a good motivator, but at the same time, I can sort of work around.
You can wiggle it.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go back just a little bit. What you said is one of the recommendations that you had that works well for you is to create and, you know, pretty much feign your own deadlines. So I like that in theory, but in practical application for you, for having like created, you know, tricking yourself into a deadline that's earlier than it really is, how do you carry that in practical application? Because in the back of your head, you still know you're pretending. But how do you commit to it?
You can use some of the other techniques for it. You can hold yourself accountable to somebody else for that deadline. At the same time, You can reward yourself for meeting that deadline. Okay. That can be effective. But you're right. It's not as effective as it could be. It's not the here's the trick to getting motivation each and every time.
Yeah.
I've done this before and still found myself writing the paper at 4 in the morning.
Right.
And turning in the same old thing. And I'm a little disappointed in myself. But then I get another B or a C and I'm like, well, I'm fine. It's not a big deal. I'll worry about this. I'll get it next time.
Right.
But those are all concrete goals where the feigned deadline would have any effect.
Right.
I think that the different kind of goal, the concrete goal, the passion goals, that you don't even need to worry about.
Already, I have an deadline. Example for you.
Well,
so, I know one of yours right now.
Oh, man. Well, let me tell you what the trouble with concrete goals is the trouble starting. The trouble with passion goals, for me, is the trouble finishing.
That was my next question. How do you stay consistent, particularly on the passion goal? Because the passion goals typically, like you said, don't have deadlines.
Yeah. So as a type B, every once in a while I'll find myself overloaded with motivation. And I think, man, this is going to last forever. I've turned the corner. I finally got it. I'm a type A in my actions now. Look at all this discipline I have. And what's happened really is that I found something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
I'll have an idea that I want to run to its end. I'll have a project or something that I want to do for you or for Ellie.
A new training goal or something.
Exactly. Or even, for me, if it's a training goal. Last November, I ran 100 miles just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
And that was after a month of running 14 miles.
Doing nothing.
After that, I ran 12 miles in the course of the month.
Yeah.
So I was able to marshal motivation because it was a personal passion.
Yeah.
But trouble finishing, like when I'm writing creatively, a lot of times I will get most of the way into a story, maybe even 3/4 of the way, and I'll get tired of writing. And I'll tell myself that I'm tired and I'll just pick it up the next day, and I don't.
Yeah.
And what's happened is that momentary passion, I've gone back and reread it, or I've tried to find that same train of thought, and then I start getting critical of myself.
Yeah.
And I start hearing those negative words
in
my
head. So that's actually a type A character coming out, getting that, being hypercritical, I think.
I'm not sure that that's
yourself from moving. Maybe that's just
unique to
maybe
a
that's
a.
A type everything character.
I would say type B's allow a lot of that to roll off of them.
Yeah.
But as a type B, I've also internalized a lot of voices in order to help motivate me. There's the negative ones that telling me that I'm not going to be good enough. There's the positive ones of my parents telling me you can do anything, you can be anything. So I have those voices in my head, and there's sometimes a tug of war.
Yeah.
When the negative wins out, and sometimes that's the all your writing is stupid, nobody's going to want to read this. I can't think of another good example of a passion project for me.
Yeah.
Travel, actually.
Yeah.
Travel when I was in college. I really wanted to go more places. And when I didn't, the voice in my head said, you're never going to leave Virginia. You're never going to you're never going to see all these other places. You've talked big game and you just don't follow through.
Yeah.
And when that wins out, it's crushing.
Yeah.
And my little dreams go to dwindle in some compartment until sometimes they get re-stoked. The fire burns a whole lot hotter later on. But for me, that took finding a type A that had the same goals.
And can remind you of your goals. And can remind you that you are somebody that has the capability of following through. But I want to speak to your passion project. For those of you who don't know, he is... Well, and look, I have a tilted opinion. I definitely am going to be his number one fan. But Brandon is extremely, extremely gifted at storytelling and creative writing, and particularly children's stories. And you talk about feeling like you're out-parented. This guy, he makes up stories on the fly and songs on the fly with Ellie and Finnegan in them, and I just can't even compete. It's like I want to write them all down, and he gets 5 new ones every day, and it's like the ones that you've put on paper are incredible, and they're children's stories that will be read by generations. And you have such a passion for it. It's just, it's consistently knowing. I think my personal opinion is that I think the reason that in this particular passion project that your consistency becomes inconsistent is because the self-doubt starts coming in.
Absolutely.
And so my recommendation to anyone out there that is struggling with consistency, particularly on a passion project, something that you just love and are so committed to, is getting someone who's going to speak words of life to you, whether it's a partner, a spouse, a friend, a coach. I mean, it can be somebody you hire. It could be somebody that's already in your life. But I think there's value in sharing that. You've shared that. It's scary to share a passion project. But because you have, I'm able to celebrate you along the way and help you realize that what you are doing is good and that it does matter and that you do have the ability to complete it.
And I'm very fortunate that you are so encouraging for me to continue to put myself out there and to put ideas down on paper.
Yeah.
I do love to write.
Yeah.
And
it shows.
Well, and more than that, I love when somebody else is reading that. Well, because then I've got to share. That was the whole point, getting to share. And I write with my audience in mind. And regardless if that's Ellie or you, but that's who I'm thinking of. If it goes beyond that, well, that's bonus. But I'm thinking of when I'm going to read those stories.
Yeah.
So, passion goals, for me, when I've stopped it, when I've got as far as I can for the day, the passion's taken me all the way through, I've been motivated, and now I've dropped the ball, and it's time to pick it back up again, I have to corral my motivation again, and it's not always the same, and I'm usually fighting that self-doubt or any criticism that I've gotten externally, too. Mm. Maybe I've read it to you, and you didn't react the way that
yeah.
I thought you were
That's
going
happened.
To.
That's happened,
yeah. And this can be any sort of passion goal,
yeah.
Not just writing. But
yeah.
The tricks that I use for this one, I do think that tool for the deathbed analogy really works.
Huh.
Because I feel so passionate about what I'm trying to accomplish. Mm. Now that I'm actually working on it, I'm thinking about who I'm going to tell later on that, this is what I did, this is what I accomplished. I made a mark, and I did something that is going to be memorable, something that I felt was worth doing.
Yeah.
And so I personalize the goal, and again, I deflect, but I think to myself, I want to do this so that it leaves a legacy. I want to do this so that it goes beyond me and my own personal experience. Another trick I use, I break it into smaller chunks.
Mm.
If I've been motivated, I'm ready to take on the world, but once that's gone, there's a very daunting task that's in front of you. And so I have to take it apart and take it string by string, chunk by chunk. It's like a half-finished puzzle.
Hmm.
I'm still going to do all the little pieces one at a time. It's not just going to get done. And I have to ask for feedback after my smaller chunks. I can get redirected.
Hmm.
A passion goal changes over time. Sometimes it grows bigger. Sometimes it gets smaller. Sometimes it changes completely, but what got you working in the first place is what got you on the road towards a wholly different direction that you end up. And you, even though the goal is completely different, you were still so passionate about it was worth doing.
Yeah.
Third technique, when I'm really trying to fight down the voices in my head, I'm going to try and use them. And I'm going to try to prove myself, prove that I'm accountable. Well, use them as accountability to prove that they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to finish this. Oh, no, let me show you.
Oh, yeah, watch me.
Yeah, watch me do this.
Huh.
Yeah, and that can be effective, too.
Yeah.
But like most things, it's only effective to a certain extent. It depends on how big the chip on your shoulder is naturally.
Yeah.
And for a type B, I don't think we get chips on our shoulders very easily. So imagining one there...
can be challenging.
It's less effective.
Yeah.
But I always go back to a couple of good examples of people that put chips on their shoulder. Like, do you remember growing up listening to Green Day or
the
band Garbage?
Yes.
Well, they got their names because I think Green Day's principal told them it would be Green Day in hell before they ever sold an album.
Really?
And somebody told Garbage, hey, your music sounds like garbage.
Wow.
So I think about them.
Yeah.
And then on a positive way, I think about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the movie was. Is Pumping Iron or something that.
Probably Pumping Iron.
Is that what it's
called?
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anybody that's looking for a great, like, the classic fitness movie, it's Pumping Iron. So, I'm sure it's on Netflix.
I've never actually seen
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen it like six times.
Okay, well, maybe it's going to have to be seven. But there's a story that he calls his mom back in Austria and says, I won. Well, the competition hasn't even taken place yet.
Oh.
But he puts that chip on his own shoulder. He puts that onus on himself in order to then follow through with what he said he's going to do.
Mm.
So I think that proving yourself, whether it's by stating what you're going to do or imagining somebody that doesn't think you can do it, that can be effective.
That's awesome.
Another thing I've tried to do is I've tried to imitate a type A.
Yeah.
I say, oh, okay, well, Trish does these things. If I do these little things, if I make my bed, if I brush my teeth,
yes.
If I start off with some mini successes, I'm going to work that into motivation.
And
I'm
it works.
Keep a schedule. I'm going to work on this from 8:01 until 8:14, and then after that, 8:15.
That regimented.
I'm going to run a dozen miles.
I'm not to the minute on my scheduling.
But what I'd suggest is also asking type A's for advice.
Yeah.
Find out what they do. I think the whole self-help section is full of people that have asked that exact question.
Yeah.
What did you do in order to be successful?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question to ask anyone. Type A, type B, it's a question that whenever I have the opportunity to be around someone whom I admire or I find interesting, I want to know, what are your daily habits? What has made you successful? What books have you read that have made you successful?
That's one of my favorite questions.
Yeah.
But again, with being type B, I usually make a list. I'm a list person, so everything goes onto a list. I have a list of books that I have received as recommended reading.
Yeah.
And
then you go to whatever fiction book you enjoy more.
I'm going to read the stuff that I like to read. I look at that list and I feel a little guilty that I haven't gotten any further on it. But
see, I can't stand
they're
fiction.
They're so boring.
I think fiction's boring.
There you go. So
well, I did read recently, this is interesting, that if you read 10 pages of a good book every day, your entire life can change. A good book being a personal development, leadership, truth, like, you know, growth book, not necessarily a
sci-fi
book.
Yeah, those are good books too. Go ahead and read. And when I pick those books, I don't just read 10 pages.
I know. Well, you know, I do want to say one other thing here. I want to speak to what you said earlier is, you know, that sometimes you just have to put your goal out there. The way Arnold Schwarzenegger called his mother and said, I've won. I want to, if that really resonates with me, and if you're out there listening and that resonates with you and you think to yourself, well, who am I going to tell this to? And you're not ready to tell anyone else your big goal or your big dream, maybe not even your partner, your spouse, your parents. You know what? You can tell me. You can send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. I tell you, there is power in putting it out there. I would love to be the person that gets to hear what you're going to do, because you know what you're going to get back from me? An email, a virtual high five that says, heck yeah, you're doing it. So I do want you to know that that's out there, or hit me up on Twitter or Instagram, wherever you want to do it. But I would, you have somebody to tell. So if you're sitting here thinking, that's great, no one's going to understand me, you got two people who are talking to you right now who do. So there's no excuse not to put it out there. And you know what, Brandon, we're going to have you on the show next week, because next week we're talking about, you know, and he was wonderful. We were actually going to do both the interviews in one day, and he said, no, I need to do some reflection on what kind of strategies and advice I'm going to recommend for type A's, because it's something that, you know, you've certainly helped me a lot with in incorporating more flexibility in my life and adaptability. So he's going to be putting some thought into what he's going to offer to us type A's as far as some coaching and strategies on how to really just enjoy life. So you have something you want to say about that?
No.
Okay. You're like eager to jump in.
Well, I want to say that I have one other person that that I talk to in order to get motivation.
Yeah.
When it probably should be the first person I go to, the first strategy, but for me, it's almost always the last when I'm at wit's end.
Yeah.
I get down and I pray.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, just God, help. I have something I need to do, and I just can't seem to get the energy together in order to do it, to find the motivation.
Yeah.
And show me how to get through this problem, or just stand with me while I do it, because it feels better to have company and to go through a problem or to try and achieve a goal with an extra set of hands. And
yeah.
Those are big hands.
Those are big hands. Yeah. Well, so one final question, and it's a question I like to ask every guest I have on the show. So you're only going to be asked it once since you're going to be on the show twice. But, you know, since we're talking about personality types and talking about how to improve ourselves in our own little place we are on the spectrum, I want people to walk away from today and from next week's show knowing and feeling confident in who they are and who they were created to be. So that being said, my question for you is, being who you are a, you know, Brandon Sinan, type B/type A, you know, wherever you are, all that taking into account, what is it that makes you confident? This is a show about confidence and being confident in our personalities and who we are. So what is it that makes you confident, knowing that...
Surprise question.
Yeah, it is. This is a curveball. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you.
I'm confident because I'm loved.
Yeah.
I'm confident because I know that if I fail, that I have a safety net. And it's made out of love. I've got a great family. I've got a great support structure.
Great but answer.
Even if you were to take all that away, I'd have you.
Yeah, and it's love. Yeah, great answer. I love it. I love you. I'm so happy you were on the show, and I can't wait to have you back next week.
Thank you for having me on.
You guys, I am just so honored to be able to share my husband with you. He has just transformed my life, and he compliments me, and just he challenges and inspires me to be the best version of myself. And it's just such a blessing to get to have that person in my life each and every day. And then to get to share a little bit of him and all the reasons why I love him so immensely with you. Now, because it has been such a long episode, let's just close out with the listener of the episode. The listener of the episode is from Instagram this week. So it is Jazzy J Hall. Now, you might not have known I was on Instagram. I actually have 4 accounts on Instagram. So make sure you follow all of them because I push different content out to different ones. So you can follow me. The main one I do manage is Trish_Blackwell. You'll see everything from, you know, the blogs of the week, podcast, you know, notes to all my pictures of Ellie and Finnegan. Also, another Instagram handle is Train the Temple. On that one, you're going to see a lot of stuff about fitness. The next one is Growth with God. You're going to see a lot of stuff about growing in your relationship with God and spiritual uplifting posts. And then the final Instagram account that I have is Garden Your Thoughts, which is going to be mental training, personal development, life coaching stuff. So you got Trish_Blackwell, you've got Train the Temple, you've got Growth with God, and you've got Garden Your Thoughts. So here's what Jazzy J. Hall said. She said, Trish Blackwell, thank you for using this quote and the other many others during your podcast the other day. The episode gave me life, and I see my mindset already changing, even though I've got a long way to go. I'm taking one day, one step, and one thought at a time. And she said to all of her followers, if you've not yet heard of Trish Blackwell or have not yet listened to her podcast, you need to. It will change your life. #realtalk, #BeYou, be free, be fearless. And girlfriend, I'm closing out on that. Be you, be free, be fearless.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.